Hey, as ultra runners, we're always looking for the edge. We're always looking for clean products that are going to help us improve our performance. And that's why we're going to talk to you today about Beat Elite.
And that's why I started taking Beat Elite. Beat Elite before my workout can help extend endurance, improve energy and stamina, and promote oxygen efficiency throughout the body.
Hey, Beat Elite is good. It's good tasting. I've started to use it too, and I'm starting to almost keep up with you, Don.
Well, Scott, I felt a bit guilty the last run because I knew that I had taken it and you weren't in a position to take it. And I was feeling a bit swifter, a bit lighter on my feet, and I had some guilt.
Hey, Beat Elite is trusted by hundreds of professional teams and elite athletes, so you know you are getting top-notch performance nutrition.
So do what I did. Take your game to the next level with Beat Elite by going to livehuman.com/TRN and get 20% off your first purchase.
The team at Human is making this promotion exclusive to the TRN audience. You're not going to find this deal like this anywhere else. That's livehuman.com/TRN.
livehuman.com/TRN.
You know, speaking of trying to find an edge as runners, one of those edges can be easily found by going to Lakey Poles, L-E-K-I, Lakey.
And that's what I discovered, Scott. When I started doing these longer races that had a lot of climbing, I realized that climbing with four limbs instead of just two gave me a considerable advantage.
And you too can try these out. Right now is a great time to try something new. And you can get 20% off your purchase of Lakey Poles by going to our partners page and clicking on the banner and using the code TRN20 for 20% off.
Many people think they're heavy, they're awkward, they're in your way, but absolutely it's the opposite. They provide efficiency, less stress and wear and tear on your limbs. It's just a good move.
You may find yourself using them just in your everyday life, going to the grocery store. They're that cool.
Go to our partners page and click on the Lakey banner to get yourself 20% off at checkout using the code TRN20.
All right. We ready?
Yeah.
Poor miserable me. I'm having cramps. And this person over here is flying by me.
Yeah.
You're recording this, aren't you, Freeman?
I get everything. All right. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name's Scott Warr.
And I'm Andy Jones Wilkins.
And I'm underqualified. This is Don Freeman.
Hey, and this is a follow-up from our special edition COVID-19 podcast that we had with Dr. Marty Hoffman and Bob Crowley, where we just kind of went over the status of the virus and how it is affecting us as runners and as a community. And we thought, you know what, let's get Andy. Actually, Andy had the idea. And let's talk about, okay, so your race has been canceled. Now what do you do? Now what do you do? You've been working hard and disciplined, and you've been getting the miles in, and you've been doing the track repeats and all that sort of stuff. Now what do you do? And we thought we'd just throw it out there and start discussing. Is that what you had in mind, Andy?
Absolutely. You know, there's so much emotion going on in the world right now, and this only adds to it. You know, you were signed up for a race in later this month or in April or in May, and it's been canceled, and it just feels like a gut punch. And so I thought it'd be nice to sit down and talk a little bit about how to respond to that gut punch. What are some of the things that you can do for yourself? What are some of the things you can do for your community? And what are some of the things you can do to prepare yourself for what will eventually be a return to normalcy? We don't know when, but eventually a return to normalcy, and how you can prepare yourself for that.
You know, just a little sidelight, and we know this is an audio podcast, and so you can't see what Don and I are seeing.
But this is a point that we can't let go.
We will put the photo in the show notes so you can see what we're seeing. But it looks like Andy is under witness protection program.
There's a bright light behind him, a big window.
All we see is a silhouette.
So I'm sitting here in my office at the Delta School in Wilson, Arkansas. I'm the only employee permitted on campus, so I've got the place to myself. And right behind me is a big, huge window. And even though I put the shades down, you still can't see me. So I look a little bit like, we should maybe make my voice go like, and then you wouldn't, then it would really be like someone in the witness protection program. But I'm sorry about that, but you guys are just going to have
to. Oh, no, I prefer it. It's
it's easier on our eyes.
It's your best side, AJW.
Well, maybe next year I can get one of those cool, nifty Trail Runner Nation backdrops, and I can put it up here in my office.
Yeah, we'd absolutely like to do that.
Hey, so how do we talk about, you know, Andy, you have a race on the calendar, Hard Rock, right?
I do, and it's up in the air for sure.
How are you gonna feel?
How do you stay motivated?
Yeah.
For one, if that being out there and not sure whether that's a go or not, how do you keep your intensity, your training, your motivation on high?
You know, that was the first thing that I was worried about for myself, is that all through the winter, pretty much, especially as I was coming back from long kind of cycle of injury, what got me out the door was knowing that I had this race in July. And I have to say, when that potential was questioned, and again, I know that the race organizers are going to do the right thing for their race, for their community, for their country, whether it's Hard Rock, Western States, UTMB, the 180 or so races that have already canceled, that are taking place in March, April, May. I think the motivation challenge is real. And that, coupled with the fact that the response to this virus can be somewhat paralyzing, might just kind of affect your motivation, affect your willingness to get out the door. So, to be honest, that's a little bit of what I'm continuing to grapple with, and as I imagine many people are who are facing this sort of new reality of what's ahead in the next couple of months.
So there are many people out there that are in your exact shoes, AJW. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. How are you mentally wrapping your mind around this, staying motivated and ready for Hard Rock should it go down? Because they're thinking the same thing you are and would probably have that conversation if we were all running down the trail together.
Well, for me, and I know many people, when they're training for some big target race in the summertime or in the fall, are typically running some tune-up races. Mm-hmm. I had quite a few tune-up races on my calendar because they, in and of themselves, helped me get motivated, and all those tune-up races are canceled. So even if the big event still happens, which is 4 months away, I'm kind of a rudderless ship and kind of figuring out what my training would be like between now and then. I am using this opportunity, and I would urge other people to use this opportunity for this purpose as well, doing those other things that I typically ignore: flexibility,
right,
mobility, injury recovery, even a little bit of strength training. I strongly believe that you can continue to do the mental training that's so important to ultra running during this time. And that mental training might require, you know, hope in the midst of despair, and thinking through, you know, how you might respond to various setbacks, whether they're setbacks in your training or setbacks in the actual race. So even whether the event happens or not, the opportunity for mental training at this point, as well as those other things like strength and flexibility and mobility, it's a golden opportunity. Now, of course, you have to do those in your house or outside with no or only one or two other people. You know, you can't do an exercise class or a yoga class. You might be able to do something remotely. So I think there's a lot of creativity that's out there going into this from the sort of fitness and endurance standpoint of how that's all going to look, you know, over the next couple of months.
So I think that that's a great answer. Let's talk about the fire in the belly, because that's important, the eye of the tiger, all that stuff, those cliches. How do you keep that ignited?
Well, I think the way I've done it is that, hey, even if Hard Rock gets canceled, there's going to be another thing I'm going to do. Mm. You know, maybe it'll be October, November, maybe it'll be a do-it-yourself type thing like I did for my 50th birthday a few years back. I will, I'm sure, find a way to enjoy a long endurance effort this summer. It may not be with other people. It may not be out in the San Juans of Colorado because I may not be able to travel out there. But I will do that. I will have fitness. I will have something to look forward to. It's reminiscent, in fact, of the Western States cancellation in 2008. Now, right. That was much more dramatic because it was 3 days before the race when they finally pulled the plug on it. And I distinctly remember going through, anger, grief, and acceptance. And once I got to the acceptance stage, and my car was packed. I was ready to drive from Idaho to the race. Once I got to the acceptance place, I came up with a do-it-yourself run. It wasn't 100 miles. It was 100K. It was in Idaho, and it was very satisfying and ultimately created a good opportunity for me to take advantage of my training and then build up to something later on in the summer. So I would encourage people to think about that as they are dealing with the disappointment and the fire in the belly. There is no doubt that if Western States gets canceled, if Hard Rock gets canceled, if UTMB gets canceled, if High Lonesome gets canceled, if the Bear, the Bighorn, whatever, any of these big 100-mile or 200-mile races that are on people's summer calendar, there will be that fire in the belly won't burn quite as brightly for a little while. And it'll be up to us, both as individuals and as a community, to find ways to kind of rekindle that fire. I think that's part of what makes our sport so great is we have that kind of resilience to be able to do that.
And doing it on your own is pretty tough. But I, like you and Scott and everybody listening, has a handful of very trusted and wonderful comrades out there, and getting together, talking about it, and making a plan B together. Hey, let's do this. Let's let's do something epic that had this not happened, we would have never taken this adventure. Let's put something on the calendar around that time where our big race is so that we're peaking at the same time. And let's go challenge ourselves to something that we would have never done, but we'll remember for a lifetime. That's possible.
It's very possible. And it also allows for a great deal of creativity where you might be able to go places where an organized race would never go. You might be able to get together with a small group, of course, a small group of people that weren't all in the same race. Maybe you have four friends who are in four different races, all of which are canceled. Mm-hmm. You can figure out a way to get together, organize something, and even do it in an alternative format. Maybe take 3 days to cover 100 miles, mm-hmm. and cook out at night and sleep under the stars and things like that. So I think there are ways to rekindle that fire. But it's a process. I think the initial disappointment and anger is real, and it's something we all have to go through.
You know, I have a workmate that lives in Germany. He's a German fellow, and he's a runner. He's run, I think, a marathon or a few half marathons, and he had his A race is gone. He was going to run a marathon in London, I believe, and then he was going to run another half marathon at the iconic races in Berlin, and all those have been canceled. And I was just chatting with him online, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? He says, I'm going to create my own marathon, and I'm going to do it. And he says, in fact, why don't we do this together? Mm. And we've been, since earlier this year, we've created challenges just between him and myself on Garmin, the Garmin Connect app. Mm-hmm. And we do these little challenges. And he said, let's work our way up, and let's both... He says, I know you're not a marathoner, but he says, let's put something together where we're working towards a virtual race, and we can push each other and motivate and make sure we're both disciplined in the training. And then let's put a carrot out there. And he says, I realize that your courses that you like to run are much hillier than what he has in Bavaria. But he says, let's do that. And I was really super excited about that. So there's a lot of fun things that you can do virtually, or even with a small group, like you were saying, Andy.
Yeah, I think that is a lot of fun, and you can take pictures of your run and share them with one another. You can, in the course of this kind of a virtual shared experience, you could even choose, like, let's do it over this 5-day period. Everybody do, you know, a 50-mile run with a certain number amount of elevation or something like that. It could really be a lot of fun and bring people together and allow them. Just like they tell stories at the end of an ultra that they're in together in real life, guarantee you, somebody does a do-it-yourself 50-miler that they figure out for themselves, they're going to have stories after that. They're going to get lost. They're going to get rained on. Their crew's going to miss them. They're all the same stories that we love so much about this wacky sport will be part of that as well. I think what we might find as we go through this whole thing is that maybe we learn a lot about the sport, and that while races are great, you know, they really are the cherry on top of the sundae, and that the sundae, the ice cream and the whipped cream and the nuts and the bananas and the chocolate sauce, that's the stuff of ultra running.
Hey, there's another thing you can be doing is eating some banana splits. That sounds delicious. Thank you, Andy.
What race have you chosen, Scott, in your virtual ultra marathon?
It's a race to the cupboard.
So I think one of the things that races do for us, if we're losing them temporarily, is it provides some accountability.
Yeah.
You know, that's what gets us up without the alarm clock. We get a little bit nervous. If we don't train, we're going to suffer mightily out there. And so we make sure we train, because the suffering on a race, and we've all done it, is not desirable. And it's just one of the worst things for as far as that race day could go, is knowing you didn't do the work and you have to slog through it. And another thing that we like about races that we'll miss is camaraderie. But I think we can replace that with your virtual communities, and they don't have to be your next door neighbor. It could be somebody that across the state or country, because virtually the distance doesn't matter. And then there's growth that happens from races, growth in the stories, growth in your fitness, growth in your life experiences, and growth in your knowledge of executing this sport we call ultra. And I think those three things that we hold out there, accountability, community, and growth are all possible, even though races are removed from our calendars.
I agree. And I think as well, there will be races again eventually. Mm-hmm. And what this could be an opportunity for people to do, myself included, is think of a race 12 months from now, 15 months from now, 18 months from now, that might capture their interest. Sure, we never know, you know, with the lotteries and things like that. But maybe this would be that opportunity to really do a full deep training cycle or a full deep reset. Maybe someone who's in the recently canceled Lake Sonoma has been battling, you know, just that twinge of IT band that they've just been holding at bay just so they can get through the race, you know, or Miwok or something. Well, now's a chance to just take a complete reset, completely get that IT band niggle better, completely get to the source of what it might have been that caused that problem, and get it better once and for all, and build up for something that might be in November or might be in 2021. I think the opportunity there, at the same time as you're taking care of yourself and still getting out there and still, you know, still being part of the community to the extent that you can, with social distancing, I think there are many ways to turn this into an opportunity for people, and to do it in a really meaningful sort of athletic, constructive fitness way. I would say I'd like to offer something else too, because this, I think, offers an opportunity for people who are in and around the sport, perhaps, to learn a new skill. A couple of skills I'm thinking of in particular are around trail work. I think we all have heard about the need for trail work all over the country in a variety of different races. And what we often hear is that there aren't as many people who have the raw skill of trail work as they would like to provide support for races, and that you can learn trail work through instructional videos on YouTube, through reading, through things like this. In addition, sort of the communications around racing. I know I have several friends who've set about to take advantage of this opportunity to get their ham radio license, which in spite of technology and all of its advances, those of us who run a lot of ultras, we are really indebted to those ham radio operators who are so important to the success of these events. So there's a couple of things where you could just learn a raw skill. And then, I mean, maybe there's someone out there who fancies himself a race director sometime, and they've never really had the organizational bandwidth to think through what it would be like to be a race director, and how do you plan a route, and how do you work with the local agencies? I'm not saying plan a race and, put it on in September, but it's a time to potentially build those skills that we may never have time, quote unquote, I never have time for trail work. I never have time to learn something new because I'm always training, or I'm at work, or there's my family. Now we potentially have the gift of time to find those skills, to find those things that we might ultimately be able to give back to the sport. We joked at the beginning of this call, for example, that I've finally learned how to use this darn microphone. and this is a great time to learn a technology skill, that we never have time for. So I really think it could be, we could really make some lemonade out of this situation.
Hey, Andy, I like a lot of your things. And as you were talking, I was writing notes down. I think it's a great time to maybe do something new with your training and your running that you've never done.
You've got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking one thing that I have avoided almost like the plague or COVID-19, getting on a track and running around a track and doing some speed work or working on my biomechanics, or maybe even trying the Maffetone method. He posted a video recently with who's the big triathlete that he worked with, where
Mark Allen
that changed the way that he trained, where he slowed down and used heart rate. Maybe this is a great time to slow down and maybe use the Maffetone method and see if you can become fitter by slowing down.
I like that, Scott, because sometimes we're afraid to try something new because we don't want to fail and then show up to our A race and just blow it out. When in fact, now this gives you a chance to try something without risk.
Yeah, it wasn't on the schedule, so I can't do the extra work. Well, guess what? The schedule's been thrown out the window.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, and I was thinking with this mandatory layoff, course records, personal best, personal records, or may fall with all of these fresh legs in the fall. Should races open back up, I think there's going to be a lot of pent up demand for racing and desire to race. And like you said, no niggles, fresh legs, and enthusiasm. I think their courses are just going to be set on fire out there.
And excitement to be back together, to bring the tribe back together after what'll be, a hiatus of time where we can actually have time in person together. So I think we've got to believe that we'll come out the other side stronger and better. Of course, we also need to think about the fact that that a lot of our members of our community might be affected by this financially. They might be, their training might be impacted by the fact that they've got their kids at home for the next 8 to 10 weeks. So we want to be able to support and be around to lift those people up as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of us around certainly affected more than just losing a race and lending a hand and reaching out even outside of our tribe running community. There's neighbors, friends, and family that can certainly use I'm going to the store. Let me pick up what you need. Give me your list. There's less exposure if I go, than both of us going. So I think that's a good thought. What are your thoughts, you guys, on FKTs? Do you think they will actually rise in popularity, or people will start to target those? And that indicated that this is a true fact, that FKTs may very well be on the calendar and really spike in 2020.
Yeah, you have to think that, right? I mean, assuming they're not, people aren't going into places that are off limits, and there will be some places, I'm sure, that'll be off limits. But I have to imagine that there would be people that might have their eyes on on big events like some of the ones that we've talked about. And as those events potentially get canceled, they might redirect their attention to, you know, long solo efforts that may be trying to get, you know, from point A to point B as fast as they can. And I think it'll be a lot of fun for people to share those experiences, to, you know, to write about them, to come on podcasts like Trail Runner Nation to talk about them. You know, I think it'd be really interesting just to hear, like, in real time right now, what people are thinking about for their plans, you know, in the event of cancellations or you know, abrupt changes of plan. I think if this crisis has the potential to really showcase what a you know, an adaptable group ultra runners and trail runners are. I mean, I think part of the reason we've all come over to the trails is because it's a place where it's about flexibility and adaptability, and you know, nobody expects the 50-mile course to be actually 50 miles and things like that. So I think that there's something in the DNA of this community that will allow us to pivot from whatever our focus is and make something positive out of it. Again, as we're dealing with the initial disappointment, anger, and frustration that I know people are feeling, you know, around the world about these kinds of cancellations.
Hey, and just for the record, Andy, I'm okay with the 50-mile course being 48.5, but I cannot tolerate a 52.6. Just for the record.
Oh, man, I ran a 50-miler back in December, and it was 53 miles.
Oh.
And man, when my that's the bad thing about GPS is because when my GPS hit 50, I wanted to just be done, you know?
Sure.
And I knew it was an out and back, so I knew how far I still had to go. And I was like, my God, this is. And of course, the race director was like, well, you got more than your money's worth.
Yeah. Like, I've heard that one before.
You know, well, I'll take your. You can have my money for 48 miles. It's fine, dude.
I'm going to throw in a little. I think I saw a post from somebody recently with a race that was complaining that his GPS didn't line up perfectly with what the race map said. And I was thinking, oh, you think that your GPS is the accurate one?
Right.
you could take the same GPS watch out, put one on each leg and one on each arm, and come up with over 50 miles. A difference.
and many of these courses were created before GPS was even invented. So we're running some old courses out there. So that's what we, you know, just like a baseball park, you know, there's the fence is built at different intervals. And so some are short courses and some are long.
Since GPS was invented, I've been on some courses, you know, that I used to think, you know, a little training loop that I always gave myself credit for running 12 miles on, and learned, come to find out, you know, it's 11.1 miles. And it's like, I'd rather not know that.
Well, you round up. 11.1 is a rounding up. Absolutely. Yeah. Anything that breaks that 0.01 is a roundup. Up for me.
It's a roundup for me, for sure.
Hey, the let's look at some of the positive things. The one thing that I am just loving about this, if there is a loving part of it, is, you know, normally I work outside a lot with farmers and growers, and I'm not doing that now. I'm stuck in an office where we've been mandated by my company to
sanitize your hands regularly.
Sanitize, don't touch my face. But you can still get outside. I mean, the parks and the trails are still open, at least for the time being, and get out and get some of that vitamin D. It is so refreshing to get out and in the sun, or recently here in Northern California, get out in the rain. Don and I went for a run the other day that was just a rainy day, and it was so good to be out there.
I'll throw another positive. The traffic, it isn't there like it used to be. It feels like we're 20 years ago as we go down the highways and the byways and the intersections. It's kind of nice to travel in 1980. What is 20 years ago? 2000?
Wow, Don, time flies in your world. Well, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
I would, as we're going around on the positives, from kind of my work perspective at a school that's shut down, and you know, we're in day three of fully remote learning, and the creativity and the collaboration that's required in creating a remote learning platform. I mean, I think some kids are just loving it and they're just hitting their stride on it. And yes, they're in their home and they're in their pajamas and maybe they're driving their parents crazy. But I think the kind of being forced to innovate and be creative is really, really, I think, a positive unintended consequence of all this. Is we have no choice but to be innovative, whether it's doing a virtual race like AR50 is going to do, or getting together and attempting a FKT, or simply thinking through, you know, what our next step in life is going to be. It's we're forced to right now just be like, okay, what now? And I think what now can be exciting as long as you don't sort of get, you know, grovel in your own filth and feel terrible about the what now. So that's part of what gives us hope in the midst of this crisis, is that we have something we love to do. We know that there are other people who love to do it. And at least as of now, no one's telling us we shouldn't do it. They're just saying, don't do it in large groups. So that's not a bad thing.
Hey, what an exciting thought that there are many students out there that feel the pressure of being in a classroom, of having a quote-unquote maybe a bully, or just the pressure of feeling that classroom setting when they can really excel in a personal learning environment. And it would be extremely interesting as an educator like yourself, AJWs, to be able to watch some of the performances increase in some of the students that were struggling and now all of a sudden learning for the first time that, you know what, as a student thinking, I'm actually smart, I'm good, I can do this stuff, and maybe even empower them when they come back or just learn that an outside setting is better for them. So I think it's...
Well, at the risk of belaboring the point, when you think about it, you know, for hundreds of years, school has been, you know, what, 10 to 30 kids in a room with an adult sitting at a desk, you know, doing things. Now, seemingly overnight, there's an adult somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of kids spread out all over the place. The adult has maybe provided them with some resources, whether those resources are online or in the form of materials that they've been asked to purchase at Walmart or Staples or something like that, depending on the age. There's resources at their disposal on the internet, and they are engaged in education. It will be fascinating to see, absolutely, from a result standpoint, from a performance standpoint, from a, you know, who rises to the top in this kind of learning environment. I'm fascinated by the whole thing. I will say it's an incredibly steep learning curve 4 days into it. I mean, it's been from the day we announced the closure of our campus to, you know, our faculty meeting yesterday just to, you know, talk about how it's going. I mean, it's in the early days, like anything, it's labor intensive and intense. But, you know, what the feedback we're getting from parents and kids is, wow, this is refreshing, and my kid loves it. So hopefully we can keep that momentum going.
Hey, learning curve or adaptation, faster for students, teachers, or, and I throw in parents, but I know they're third. So the adaptation from the educators or the students.
Oh, like anything involving technology, the students are adapting most quickly. I would say they are, you know, facile with whatever device they're using. They're understanding, you know, platforms like we're talking on right now. The teachers have been able to pull together, you know, groups of 10, 12 kids on a conference call and really be productive. I think the teachers who are most easily adapting to it are those who maybe use technology platforms in other parts of their lives or just creative educators. I think you want to make sure you keep an eye on whatever foundational skills the kids might need. And frankly, this is true as we go to running too. While you might be creative and thinking on working on different things, you want to make sure you keep the fundamentals going, right? You want to make sure kids are still writing a paragraph, and you want to make sure kids are still, you know, learning long division more or less in fourth grade, you know, things like, you know, decimals and fractions and things like that. So, I mean, there are some fundamentals, I think, that need to be, that we can't ignore, but there aren't a whole bunch of those. And once you sift through what those fundamentals are, there's an awful lot of time and space and energy for true creativity.
And I think that's, I mean, as you're talking through that, I'm thinking I need to be a little bit more creative in my running. You know, we get into some of these ruts where we go out and do the same time or the same course or the same pace. And I think I'm going to take that on myself, Andy. Thank you very much. And I'm going to add a little bit more creativity to my running and my training program.
And you know, as you get older, for me, one of the things my wife and my son Logan, who's a sort of an elite level cyclist, is they've been beating the drum hard for cross training. Mm-hmm. I think I've said on this podcast before, that's not my strong point. I'm not a big fan of swimming and cycling, but absolutely, if you've got to do it, and this is forcing me to be creative in that way.
Hey, I'm going to get back to this FKT thing because I think it's mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating, but more so a team FKT. I think it would be very interesting to get a couple buddies and make a challenge. We're going to go run this course, Scott and I, and AJW, you pick your partner, and we're going to go run this thing. And I think it would be fun to do a little personal challenge like that.
Oh, a team FKT. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, where you're, you know, so there's now a little bit of group cohesiveness, a bit of a challenge. That would make my stomach flip a little bit, knowing mm-hmm. that somehow I've got to talk Scott into carrying me halfway through these climbs.
But I think, I mean, again, back to the creativity, you know, we live on polar opposite ends of the coast. We can't run the same course, so we'd have to figure out, you know, if it's a 50K or a 50 mile.
Some parameters, like climbing, there must be at least 7,000 feet in this run. So you could put some of those parameters up. And once you've come to agreement on that and you've charted out your course, which is going to take some time, creativity, and fun, and then compare courses, and there's going to be plenty of smack talk, because if there's anything we're good at, besides being a community, is talking smack.
Yeah, there's no way the virus is going to bring that down.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. So,
and you know, one of the things too, we were texting back and forth before we started. I have a Strava account. I have the free account. I don't have the paid account. I don't know that much about it. I think I only share my information with like my sister and a nephew, and that's about it. But maybe I need to dive a little bit deeper into Strava, because that's more of a wider reach of a platform, technological platform, than if you're just using a Garmin. I mean, Garmin
can. And allow yourself to be vulnerable. Take the chance. Yeah. Take that chance. You know, when you put a bib on, you become vulnerable for a minute, because everyone knows your results. Everybody sees you. Can't hide behind your bib. Yeah. And that's maybe one of the reasons we're not allowed to fold them up anymore, so we can't hide behind that thing. And so you know, if you make yourself vulnerable at a race, go ahead and expose yourself on Strava.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm with you, Scott. I don't even have a Strava account. I don't even want to see my own results.
Do you know what Strava is?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an app.
Well, one of the neat things, I know you guys are non-Strava users, but I'm sure there are thousands of Strava users who listen to the podcast. And one of the neat things is, in a circumstance like this, is you can compete against the ghost of other runners. I mean, you guys could drive up to Michigan Bluff this weekend and see how close you can come to Jim Walmsley's splits, you know, from El Dorado Bridge to the town. And because they're all right there on Strava. So I think those are some of the perhaps interesting, fun, creative ways that this could be. And you know, you might be really excited to know that you were within 45 minutes of him.
Yeah, I was going to say.
For 100 meters.
He didn't say whether we could beat Jim Walmsley's splits. How close you could get. And he gave us 45 minutes. And you know what? He gave us 45 minutes from aid station Michigan Bluff to Forest Hill, which is mile 55 to 62. He thought we'd be 45 minutes off.
I'd be lucky to be within 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's why I'm dropping you as my FKT teammate.
Exactly. I just lost my job.
You can, AJW, you can have Scott. I'm recruiting Jim Walmsley.
Oh, that would be quite a matchup. Well, Scott Moore and AJW against Freeman and Walmsley.
Well, it's combined time. It's combined time. So I don't have to stick with Jim, nor does he need to stick with me.
You know, go ahead.
Well, I think they're also just related to sort of the things you can do. I think there are other things you can play around with at this juncture without races on the immediate horizon. Maybe you've let's take a couple of them. Maybe you've always wanted to figure out how to run with poles, and you've never had the time to figure it out. But you could get to some places with steep hills and run with poles. Or you've been kind of stuck in a rut of, you know, you've always been a guy who's worn a fanny pack, and you've never worn one of these race vests because you just haven't had the time to learn, you know, what is this whole deal with the race vests and things like this. So even a new pair of shoes, you might be like, yeah, you know what, I've always been a blank shoe wearer, but this might be a good opportunity to try out these other shoes that I've, because we're such creatures of habit as runners, and we get caught up in the cycle of training and racing and recovery and training, racing and recovering, that, you know, just thinking that stuff through. I mean, I've had people say to me, oh, I'd love to learn how to use poles, I just never have time, or, you know, I just prefer to use these shoes, it's just what I've always been using, you know, and you find out that they're, you know, the 15-year-old model of New Balance 580s or something. Or even nutrition, right? I'm stuck in my rut of using gels and using this and using that. I mean, this is an opportunity to really say, well, look, there's nothing on the calendar for 4 months. There's nothing on anybody's calendar for 4 months. So we can experiment. We can try some new things. We can see what else is out there, and maybe learn something along the way.
Hey, you know what might be on the calendar, AJW, is this FKT thing. Now I'm going back to it. Now the rule.
We haven't repeated the podcast. This is just Don staying on the bone.
So
yes, in case you're wondering, Freeman is interested in the FKT thing.
And so it may not be that you can set your own rules. You don't have to stick with your person. It might be just a team of three average time. Just build your team. Take the collective times and then add them up and put them against one another. So you can either do it as direct team like you do with some of the adventure racing where you have to stick together, or you can just say, I'm going to pick my best team and you race your best team and we have three on each or whatever it might be and put it out there.
Is there, like golf, some kind of a handicap that we can put on some of us that are a little bit slower?
No, you know what? I think if we're going to keep going down this rabbit hole, I think what we do is you name team captains, and it's like a draft. It's like the NFL draft. And, you know, you get your first round pick and your second round pick, and you talk about bullies at school. You don't want to be the guy who gets picked last, right? But you can
the guy standing at the on the line to get picked, and it's like, okay, you can have Don. Speaking of vulnerability, you can have Don.
Right. But you could, you know, and then if you draft the teams, maybe it could even be a series of FKTs, right? We're going to, okay, here's our April challenge, here's our May challenge, and here's our June challenge. And then when it's all said and done, we'll tabulate all the results and we'll have a virtual party to celebrate the winners, and we'll give them a virtual trophy. And,
a virtual trophy, a virtual belt buckle, you mean?
Yeah. And, right, a virtual belt buckle.
And to go, you know, to further go down this rabbit hole, it wouldn't be complete without some wagering and some betting.
Oh.
You know, you can buy a square, you can do all kinds of things that are probably illegal and get us tossed off of this podcast platform, but there's got to be some wagering, don't you think?
Absolutely. And in addition to wagering, there needs to be photos and videos accompanying the various efforts as well that are shared widely.
Widely. And mocking is encouraged, right? Back That's to the correct. Smack talk.
There will be a lot of caption contests.
You know, speaking of that, let's occupy social media with some of the photos of your training runs and videos of what you're doing and how creative you're getting with your training. I think that would be fun to see, besides just all the negative stuff out there.
I think it would be cool if people that are listening to the podcast had some, went on a cool training run somewhere that they hadn't been before, or did something innovative that they, you know, was even some sort of an adventure to a place. I know back in Virginia, there were several in the Blue Ridge Mountains, there were sort of these places that were kind of talked about where there'd been a plane crash and there were like ruins of an old airplane or a helicopter or like an old bus that looked like a bus out of Into the Wild or something. And people would go on an adventure sort of hike run to go find those places and take pictures of them. I think that would be really cool. Yeah. If that kind of thing, if our community shared what they're doing in that way too.
You know, I was just thinking, I don't know if you've ever done geocaching, but maybe you could make that into a running adventure where you say, hey, on Saturday, the first team to find 50 geocaches in this little wilderness area.
You know, AJW, when you're traveling down a rabbit hole and you realize you've reached the end of it.
You want to talk about FKTs again, Freeman?
That just happened. We just hit our head on the end of the rabbit hole right there.
Yeah. I think we bumped up against the bedrock.
I thought there was no bad idea.
Right there.
Okay, maybe.
Geocaching, what was geocaching. The end of the rabbit hole. But let's mention just for a second, social media really gets a bad rap. And for good reason. But in this instance, I think it can be used for good. You know, you could think back before social media, before you know, all the apps that we get to share adventures, or podcasts where we get to talk with one another and become a community in this time of crisis and kind of just talk through it with one another. And it's helping me talking with Scott and to AJW, and the listeners listening are contributing into the conversation. I think social media has its good side too, and this is one of them.
I agree. I think while it does get a bad rap, I think it's nice to be able to connect with people virtually. I also think it's nice for people to be able to express themselves in new and interesting ways. And yes, there is a lot of junk out there, but sometimes I see a picture of somebody, you know, running with their son or daughter, or, you know, out in a very beautiful place, or just sharing a cool idea that they haven't had before, and that kind of brightens your day. And so in the absence of that, I mean, frankly, yes, if we were going through this crisis 20 years ago and didn't have all this form of communication, on the negative side, there wouldn't be a lot of the negativism that's being thrown around. But I think we might even be more isolated than we already feel we are. And and that could add a different dynamic to the societal challenge that this is going to continue to cause us to face. So I agree. And I would encourage anybody who is an active user of social media, that includes Strava, by the way, because it's a wonderful social device as well. You guys should get on there. You could learn that. there are definitely ways of using it for good and using it for bringing people together. And I'd love to see more of that.
Well, I think there is, in times that are difficult, in times of struggle, there's usually things that rise to the top, and I'm sure that we'll become better for this and a better community. AJW?
I want to make one more pitch. I wrote about this. Megan Hicks asked me to write a special editorial today in the in I Run Far. It wasn't a normally scheduled one, but a group of people in our community are just getting hammered, and those are the race directors. Mm-hmm. And whether they're big time race directors like Julie, who you guys are going to interview later on, or and Craig and others, or just small mom and pop race directors, they're getting hammered. I can tell you, none of these race directors want to cancel their races. Mm-hmm. None of them are like, oh, goody, goody, I get to take all these people money and I don't have to have a race. None of them are saying that. And I think as we as a community are settling into this situation, please, 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 let's make sure those race directors know how much we care about what they do and how much it's important. I will not be surprised if we see some races die because of this, because they have to give refunds or because there's too much of a headache to deal with the permitting or whatever. And maybe that's good. Maybe there are too many races. I don't know. That's not my point here. But my point is that these good-hearted people who put on races all over the world are many, many, the vast, vast majority of them are doing it in a nonprofit way and, frankly, in a negative profit way in most cases. And so let's be gentle with those folks because we need them. Yeah. When this is all said and done, and the sun rises again, and we're putting on bibs again, and sitting around the campfire after a race, and talking to our friends, we have those race directors to thank. So I don't want to end on too much of a negative note, but in addition to the other stuff we've talked about that we can do, write a note to a race director. Write a quick little note and say, hey, I'm sure you've had a rough couple of weeks and you've got people emailing you demanding refunds and everything else. You know, I love what you do. I appreciate all that you do because they really are the heart and soul of this sport. And I would hate to see them become so disgruntled that they just say, screw it, I'm not going to do my race anymore.
You know, and I think we have to remember, that's a wonderful point, AJW. We have to remember that races happen because of race directors, not because of runners. And if it mm-hmm. wasn't for the race director, the courage that they have to chart the course out and get the permitting and to get the insurance and to promote it and to answer all the questions that come in at relatively low reimbursement, if we get right down to it, many of them are just breaking even, that they wouldn't happen if it wasn't for them. And it's our turn to let them know we appreciate them and not start to hound them.
Well, and let's one other piece. They're regular people also. Maybe they're in a vulnerable population. Maybe they have loved ones who are sick. Maybe they are going to be challenged in their real life job because of the economics that are going to happen as a result of this virus. Remember that too. You know, just because they're race directors and they make speeches and they send out emails and they collect your entry fees, it doesn't mean they're above or beyond what the rest of us are dealing with.
You know, I think we just need to be a little bit nicer. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention our friend Bob told us a story about our other friend Erica and Warren Pohl. Erica is Italian, and she was sharing with him that every day at noon, all the Italians either open their shutters of their apartments or homes or virtually, and every day at noon, they all stand and clap in respect and gratitude for the frontline people like the doctors, the nurses, the healthcare professionals. I'll go as far as saying the people that keep our utilities going and all that sort of stuff. I think that we need to be a little bit nicer and recognize for the teachers that they don't want to be home. They want to be with the kids. That's the reason why they got into this profession is because they want to help young people become smarter.
Yeah, the harder it gets, the more human we become, which I think is a nice characteristic of our species. Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk with Julie and see what she has done with AR-50 coming up. You'll hear it shortly if you're listening to the podcast, and we're gonna learn what a race director is doing to try to dampen the despair and lessen the load and the frustration, because race directors really are trying to be creative and step up and do things that are actually more work than putting on the race, because not only have they planned for the race, they're planning something new and completely different, a new technology perhaps that they have to learn and adapt to. And so we'll be interested in hearing what AR-50 is doing, one of the largest 50-mile races in the country.
Well, thank you, Andy. We appreciate your tips. I think that I'm actually really excited about what now. What now? The door is wide open, and the landscape is eager to learn what creativity I can come up with personally, and how we as a community can become creative and continue to enjoy the outdoors and running.
And I, for one, would like to be picked and selected on your team, AJW, for your FKT challenge. I mean, I'll carry.
Right. You know what? You know
can't
what would be
bribe
awesome?
Yourself into the lottery, Freeman.
you know what would be an awesome idea, Freeman? We could have FKT teams.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't. I want to be on your team.
I think he's mocking you, Don.
Oh.
That was a mock. That wasn't a serious. All right.
Oh, Freeman.
So you can see I'm not a leader. I'm willing to follow.
Hey, Scotty. Remember the old days, Western States Lottery, the two-time losers?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I think we're talking to one.
All right. Well, the good thing about not being naive and is not letting things get to you. That just went right over my head like water off the duck's back.
Hey, thanks again. This is a great conversation. I hope that we can have some more. You know, if you have ideas, if you're listening to this podcast and you have a great creative idea of what you and your friends are doing, post it. We'd love to hear it because we can all benefit from the collective creativity of our community.
Yeah, please share away, because I think that'll make us feel a lot more, a lot less isolated in yep. these times when we're all kind of sitting in our own worlds, talking in the computer screen. So, you know, fire away, post on Trail Runner Nation, post on your own social media, and just share what you're doing, because I think we're definitely, as we've always been in the sport of trail and ultra running, we're stronger together than we are as a bunch of individuals.
And FKT teams has already been taken. Not necessary to pile on, okay?
So continue to run.
Mas.
We're now hooked up with Julie Fingar, who's the race director of NorCal Ultras, which does a lot of the really cool runs here in Northern California.
AR50, Way Too Cool,
Rio del Lago, the Twilight Run.
She rocks the trails. She does a lot of races. Julie, you're very busy.
I am very busy. Certainly, we have five races that we do throughout the calendar year. So it definitely keeps myself and my team busy year round.
Hey, Julie, we've talked on the previous podcast that we released earlier this week and then this podcast about all the race directors have to do. And I bet you are under a lot of stress right now with this large AR50 race being canceled. It's not something you wanted to do, right?
Oh, absolutely not. We at NorCal Ultras, we share in every runner's disappointment, frustration, all their emotions that they are going through, we are going through as well. And certainly this is not what we intended or set out to do. But given the circumstances and the situation that we're all facing, we have decided to go forward with our event in a virtual run capacity.
Tell us about that. How does that look, and what technology are you using? And I'm interested.
Yeah, so it will go live tomorrow. So all of our runners that were registered, in fact, for AR25 or AR50. We'll get an official email from us sometime tomorrow launching this virtual event. And we really are just wanting our community of runners to come together by participating in the 25 or the 50 with certain criteria. So for instance, if you were in the 50 mile event, we have an option for you to run anywhere from 10 miles to 50 miles. And if you are unable to get outdoors or self-quarantined, we have some fun exercises, 50 lunges, 50 burpees, 50 planks, 50 squats that you can do in your home and still be a participant in the race itself virtually. So, you know, again, we want to bring our community of runners, certainly within our event together, our community as a whole, but in a virtual capacity. So we are, you know, we're satisfying the need to bring everybody together, but do it in a socially responsible way.
So Julie, when did you make the big decision? I mean, this is something you have to act on quick, because we really just got the word from the authorities and watching the world react to this. This isn't just a northern hemisphere thing, as Scott likes to identify as. When did you hear, and how quick did you need to react? Because your race is right around the corner.
Yeah. So I'll just kind of detail out the timeline, how it happened. So it's just clear for everybody that is interested in knowing. We got the calls on Thursday late afternoon from the California State Parks that we were mandated that the cancellation of the event was in fact happening. And so at that point, Thursday, 4 p.m., when we got word, really our first priority, of course, was letting all of our participants know. And then from that point, letting all of our vendors and partners and sponsors know. So, you know, going down our laundry list of our ice vendor, portable vendor, you name it, every logistic that it was associated with our event and any event in general, we wanted to let all of those folks know that, in fact, the race was canceled, and to stay tuned for further information. So that was really our first kind of reaction and response is to all of our runners first and foremost, and then to all of the logistics that needed that happen within our event. And from there, we tossed around some ideas on Friday about possibly doing a virtual run. But certainly it was still all fresh, and we were just trying to kind of do damage control as well as, you know, be up forthright with our communications to all of our runners. Obviously people, you know, were writing to us wondering what was going to happen. Were we going to postpone? What were we going to do? And to be very honest, you know, Friday, Saturday, we had no further information whether a postponement would be possible at all. And certainly that was our first choice. And I think for a lot of races, certainly they want to postpone. We want to postpone. But I will say this, and all directors, all races have this challenge as well. When you have kind of this monstrosity happen and you have all these races canceled and everybody wanting to postpone, what happens is it creates a stockpiling of events, say in, you know, August, September, October, November. You know, again, we have no crystal ball. I wish I did on when, in fact, you know, events will resume, hopefully sooner rather than later. But without that information, we're unable to actually say, hey, could we look at doing American River 50 on this date? And further, AR50 runs through three different jurisdictions, two state park jurisdictions and one city jurisdiction. So you can imagine that all the stars have to align for that date. And we have received further information since Friday to know that it will not be feasibly possible for us, in fact, to get a postponement for a future date. So given that information over the weekend, a few of us on the team kind of brainstormed and just started to create some momentum and energy. And certainly we wanted to feel better as well, because we weren't feeling too hot, let me tell you. Certainly, you know, just a lot of reaction, a lot of emotion, just trying to do the next best right thing. And so we came to the conclusion that, you know, putting on a virtual event, in fact, would be just a way in which we could do this event just in a different fashion.
Now, I'm interested. It sounds like the choice was removed from you. It sounds like mm-hmm. the state parks came down and said, there's not going to be a run. You know, we're shutting you down. So it sounds as if race directors really don't even have an option.
We didn't. I'll speak for just myself and our event. But I do know the information clearly that on Thursday afternoon when we received that call, all events at that point with 250 participants or more were canceled, were mandated to cancel. So obviously, as we know in the world, things have changed. And now that number has decreased, I think, to like gatherings of 10 people, I think it is right now. But on Thursday, yes, it was there is no choice. Your event is canceled. Boom. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's really cool that your team of creative people have said, hey, let's still make this a fun celebration of the training that these athletes have done. Let's do a virtual training run, and I'm super excited to see how that turns out. There's going to be an announcement, but Julie shared a little bit of information. I hope you don't mind, because the podcast is probably going to be released after you send out the announcement. But you still have, if you've been looking forward to, like Don's alluded in past podcasts, he ran AR 50 for the first time because there was a finisher's jacket. Well, those finisher's jackets have been purchased, and you can still get your finisher's jacket by participating virtually. And so that's actually really quite cool.
Yeah. So at the conclusion of the virtual event, we are going to mail everybody's swag in both distances, 25 and 50, for their shirt, their medallion. If you were in the 50, your finisher's jacket. All of our sponsors and partners have been so awesome in helping support this effort virtually, and have provided us with some swag to include in the goodie swag bag that every runner is going to get. There's going to be some social contests that we'll release tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. There will be some virtual aid stations as well. So cool. We're just trying to bring together, again, everybody that has trained so hard for this event. You guys know from running our events and doing these long distance endeavors that, you know, people train six months to a year for this, and to have that not happen for you, again, you guys, I certainly understand those emotions. And so while, you know, we can't exactly do what we wanted to do, we feel like this is a way to, in fact, you know, just to bring it together and really share and at the end get all your swag. So we're really trying to recreate the race experience from start to finish, just in this virtual capacity.
So, we encourage people to take an object and create a blister on their foot, so they really have the sensation of completing this event. Hey, so on the positive side, I'm not looking for a single negative comment. What has been the supportive reaction of the community? Have you been showered with wonderful condolences of saying, "Hey, we're with you, Julie. We love your races and we love you."
Yeah. Yes, it has been overwhelming in that sense, that the runners that we don't even know, that we just communicate with on email, have reached out and said they are sorry for our disappointment as well, as much as they're disappointed. So that kind of genuine compassion, certainly I know for myself, for our key team, has really goes right to our heart, right to our core. And we are so thankful. A lot of our sponsors and partners have done the same, and are willing and wanting to be involved to support us in any way. So, you know, really it's, as you guys know, kind of the key word, like the community, everybody is really coming together in this time of crisis, so to speak, and trying to lift each other up. I mean, that's what I believe, you know, I'm here to do, is kind of be the light and try to, you know, spread positive energy, and, you know, help the next person. So yeah, it has been, really great to see the outpouring of support. And, we really just try to focus, you know, and relish in that and go forward, you know, with that momentum, instead of focusing on the latter.
Hey, this is a microcosm of running an ultra. This is not plan A. This is plan B or plan C. And it's good training for us to see these obstacles being thrown into us. And we appreciate you, Julie, for being out there and not saying let's quit. You've had this thrown at you, and you've said, hey, let's make the best out of it. Let's make lemonade out of these lemons.
Yeah, and I just want to add real quick, certainly back on the race directing side, the production side, you know, again, it's super important. You guys have already talked to folks and hammered the message to just be kind, be compassionate, to, you know, our, you know, community of race directors, especially here in Northern California. A lot of them have reached out to me, and I have vice versa, as this was all going on. And so we are trying to, you know, help one another, create, you know, solutions, and just to create a, you know, have a open space where we can talk about this. And cause we all feel the same and want to do the right thing and want to make this the best that we can for everybody. And so we are certainly, compassionate and care about, you know, all of our runners in every single event that happens. And we are really trying very, very hard to, you know, make things like a virtual event and just make solutions for you. So they certainly take a lot of work, and because again, in the situation we are in here at AR50, because the event was basically ready to go, all of our supplies, logistics, you name it, are here, have landed, paid for, expensed out. We cannot recoup any of those costs. Very little will we be able to recoup. So, you know, it's certainly presents a lot of challenges on our side. And, you know, again, those folks that have been extremely kind and concerned as well. We really appreciate that. We're all in the same boat.
Hey, I'm excited about this. Is it too late to register? Is registration closed? Do you still have some open slots, Julie?
You can get some swag for doing 50 jumping jacks.
I don't care about the swag. I just want to know whether I can go out and participate in the virtual run.
Yeah, sure you can.
Scott, I want to see you do the 50 push-ups, 50 squats, 50 lunges, 50
I would love
burpees.
To see that too.
Yeah, I think that's going to be your AR50.
Okay.
Hey, Julie, it's so good for you to be the voice for the race directors and for people to hear how hard you guys collectively are working to rescue what's happened to our races and knowing that it's not always just about losing a bib, but the race directors are trying hard and they're pulling together as their own community. And I think people can hear that in the genuineness, in the sincerity in your voice.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for wearing that AR50 jacket.
Hey, I earned this thing. That was
that's like a one of a kind. You might have like other than the 600 others that have that, but that's it. Like, you know, I get requests for, do you have that gray Houdini, that Patagonia Houdini? And
I've got it. And I thought I had lost this for a while and I found it and I couldn't tell you how happy I was when I rediscovered it.
You know what? I think during a race you paced me on, I think I wore that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I was really cold.
Yeah.
So, I could have walked off with it.
The runner sacrificed himself over the pacer. You should have brought your jacket at that race, Julie.
I know. Lesson learned. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Julie.
Hey, thanks, Julie. And best of luck to you on this virtual race. We appreciate all the efforts you've made.
Is there ways that some spectators, is there a way that they're going to be able to follow the race?
Oh, so
good.
We're working on it. Let me tell you, we are working on this. So stay tuned for when we roll out the official email and e-blast. We'll have some information in that. And everybody participating in the virtual run is going to get a result on Ultra Sign Up. So those folks have been great about helping us put this together. So results will be, in fact, uploaded and each person will get that. And stay tuned for the spectator information, virtual aid stations, you name it. So we're going to be working away today to get some more information together.
You've raised the bar as usual. Race Director Julie Fingar, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.